Yes, a very good morning, everyone. It is Friday, April 26th. The Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you, wherever and however you are listening. Hope everyone really enjoyed their Anzac Day. One of the great days, certainly, isn't it, on the Australian calendar as we honour our diggers. And then so much sport yesterday afternoon and evening, and three games of the NRL. Couple of big scores and big winners with the Roosters beating the Dragons 60-18 in front of more than 40,000 there at Allianz Stadium yesterday. And last night, what a performance from Melbourne. Gee, you have to put them right into premiership calculations now. Surely, if you hadn't already, 54-20 over the Bunnies. And the Gold Coast Titans got their first win of the season under Dez. His first win there at the club, 27-24 over in New Zealand against the Warriors there yesterday. And what about that AFL at the MCG as well? 85-all draw between Essendon and Collingwood. Jamie Elliott, a specky of a mark. And GWS again underlined their premiership credentials last night. The Brisbane Lions season on life support after a 113-59 win for the Giants there last night. But here we are, Loz. Morning to you, mate, in Adelaide. I guess somewhere probably 6 months ago we didn't expect to be, but LIV Golf, it captured the imagination last year of everyone who was here, and we've jumped on board. And here we are at the Grange Golf Club in Adelaide ahead of day one today.
Morning, Middo. Morning, Pup. Morning, everybody. Yeah, I'm excited about the golf today. Obviously, you know, I'm not a great golfing fan as such, but to see the plane packed with people coming down here yesterday, I spoke to a number of people on that plane coming down for the golf, staying at the hotel, staying for the golf, ran into people out for dinner last night. What are you doing down here? Down here for the golf. And it's sold out. Today is sold out. So day one, you can't get a ticket. So it just shows you the popularity of bringing superstars down here to Australia that we don't often get to see. So everyone's excited. People have been before, other people haven't. The people that have been before told me they just had a fantastic time last year and they had to come back. They said it's different. It's not your typical golf where you walk around and everyone's quiet. It's quite a great atmosphere. The golfers enjoy it. They know what they're in for. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all unfolds here today. And it looks like we're going to have great weather. Watched some footy yesterday as well. Geez, I thought all three games were going to be tight. How wrong was I? I didn't expect the first game to go the way it did, with the Titans prevailing. That was a must-win game for them, and they showed their desperation. And the Warriors are in a bit of a hole at the moment. They're playing good football in patches, but they seem to have some adversity go against them and concede some points, and then all of a sudden they lose their rhythm with the football and without. And then yesterday, the Roosters and Sam Walker put on a masterclass at Allianz Stadium. That was his best performance in a Roosters jersey. They absolutely smashed the Dragons. And then last night, the poor old Bunnies coming off the bye, coming up against a Melbourne Storm side who been a bit clunky in attack, but they found their rhythm last night, and Cam Munster was exceptional. And they ended up winning 50 to 20, I think it was. 54-20.
That's a shellacking, the first half.
That was a massive... massive loss. 32-4 at half time. We're never going to recover from that.
Pup over in India. How are you, mate? What's doing?
Morning, boys. I'm going well, thanks. Happy Friday. Happy Anzac Day for yesterday. Hope you both enjoyed your day. I couldn't agree more, but a very, very special day. How's Adelaide? I'm a bit jealous, I've got to say. We spoke a lot about it last year. So, yeah, I wish I was there.
Yeah, superb. Played golf yesterday. So I got here on Wednesday. A couple of quiet ones Wednesday night. Dinner at the Little Italian joint in Glenelg. Yesterday, played golf at Mount Osmond up in the Adelaide Hills. Looks over the whole city. Outstanding. A couple of quiet ones walking the course as well.
How good.
And then, yeah, met up with Loz last night and had some dinner. So we've had, had an absolute ball.
I'll tell you what, though, Pup, it's very exciting down here. I haven't been down here before, but just the amount of people. There's plenty of people down here for the golf, and I know you're a bit like me when it comes to golf. Not that interested, only when the big tournaments roll around, but there's a real buzz down here around this LIV Golf.
And over in the IPL,
they know how to do a good event as well. Adelaide, I've got to say, it used to be one of my favourite cities to go and play cricket in. That ground, Adelaide Oval, was magnificent. But just the way they get behind sporting events, yeah. And like we spoke about last year, LIV Golf was just extraordinary. Just the amount of people that went and then come home and spruiked about it, bragged about it. So I've got no doubt it'll be a massive weekend. So enjoy it, boys.
Sure, Will. I reckon we're going to be blown away today, Loz, when we see the crowd and just how different it is. Like you say, yeah. You go to golf tournaments, you've got to be very reverent.
Yeah.
Can't annoy anyone. I think today it'll be a raucous atmosphere.
Well, people were saying from about 2:33, it's like electric. Like everyone's in fine form. And to be sold out, I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? Mm. First day of a tournament to be sold out, and it'll be sold out for days two and three.
Oh, yeah.
But they just said it's a completely different vibe to a lot of other tournaments they've been here in Australia. That was what people were telling me yesterday, and they've enjoyed it. And the other thing I noticed was people have brought their kids, young kids. We sat next to a family last night from Sydney, and they had their two young boys, and they had their footy jerseys on, so we're talking to them. I was talking to him about, you know, who do they support, and one of them supported South, so he wasn't happy.
Yeah, wasn't
he got out and
well
walked away in disgust at halftime. He would have been only 10, and his old man was laughing, but it was very funny.
Yeah.
But they were both golfers, and they came down last year, and they said they had a ball, and they're back again. And I think, like with any sport at the moment, you've got to try and attract younger people to the game. And we saw number of families yesterday talk about bringing their kids to the golf, whether they did it last year or bringing them back again this year.
Pup, give us an update of what's going on over there at the IPL. Did I see that Ricky Ponting's dropped David Warner?
Right. So this was big news. I don't think I helped either, which I've got to be more careful of when I'm live on TV, not to show all my emotion. But I was sitting there doing the pre-show, and they announced at the toss that David Warner was not in the starting 11. And straight away I was like, no way. And then I was on air with a couple of other guys, and then they started saying, yeah, Davey's been dropped, and Shai Hope, the West Indian players, come in for him, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no disrespect to Shai Hope. He's a lovely guy. He's a good player. But he's nowhere near David Warner. So when the camera was off me, I was signaling to our producer just to find. I said, no, there's got to be something more to it. Thankfully, I ran into David Warner yesterday at the gym to get confirmation. He's out injured. He's not dropped. No. So he busted. He got hit on the thumb a few weeks ago. I think he missed a couple of games, went for a scan and it was clear. But you could see yesterday, his thumb's still extremely swollen. So from what he told me yesterday, he didn't play because of his injury. It sounds to me like there's now a question mark around how long it's going to take to heal. So I don't know what they're going to do around, you know, does he stay here for another 3 or 4 games, and if he doesn't play, then make the decision to fly home to get ready for the World Cup, assuming he's selected in the 15. Can they eject and he go and play? I really don't know what they're going to do to get him back out on the field. But, there was a lot made. It was quite a big story over here as well, because they didn't come out and say anything. Delhi didn't come out and say David's injured. They just allowed it to sort of play on. So the assumption that he's been dropped is a fair one. The media haven't made a mistake, because normally you see, particularly with big players, there's a one pager on why they're not selected or how long they're out for, or especially with Davey being in contention for the World Cup. We've seen what's happened with Mitch Marsh. If Cricket Australia's flown him home straight away. So it's been sort of, you know, a secret. But seeing him yesterday, you can see his hand's still swollen, and he confirmed that it's his thumb, or his hand, sorry, as to why he didn't play last game. But that's not good news for Australian team, Australian World Cup squad. If he's out injured, Mitch Marsh is back home and ruled out of the entire IPL with his hamstring tear. So that hasn't been positive either. But again, young Fraser McGurk's been awesome. Travis Head's been awesome. Paddy Cummins done a good job. I know Sunrisers lost last night to RCB. Finally, RCB got a win. The other one as well is Glenn Maxwell. I haven't heard or seen Maxi, so I don't know if he's staying at the team hotel rather than going to the grounds. He's not playing at the moment. I see in this time where he said he wants a bit of a mental and physical freshen up, he's gone and signed with an American team, Ricky Ponting's team over there, the Washington team. So that confuses me as well. If he's not mentally and physically right, why would he be signing for another tournament right now? You'd think he'd be wanting a break and get away from everything. So I don't know where he sits in regards to World Cup as well. He's a massive player for us when in good form. So there's lots of questions, you know, at the moment. Some positives in regards to players doing really well, and then just injuries. You know, we're just waiting and seeing how blokes, you know, pull up to be selected for this World Cup campaign.
Gosh, there's still a month to go in the IPL as well, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. The final is the 26th of May, I think, is the final. But you can see at the moment there's a bit of a transition in regards to some teams. At the moment, there's probably three teams that need every single thing to fall in their favour to make the finals. Everyone else is competing for one of those top four spots. So even around, you know, and I don't think Delhi or Mitch Marsh would say this, but I think because, you know, where Delhi sit, Mitch has probably thought, I'm back home in Australia now. I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to do all my rehab, get everything right, and not take a risk at all for this World Cup campaign. So, again, players, try and put yourself in the selectors' position. How important is this IPL? Because, you know, players are out injured. Some players haven't been performing. Will that have any sort of impact on our World Cup campaign? You know, do we want players playing cricket before in the lead into that World Cup? Would that be ideal? Because, you know, there's an opportunity there for someone like Mitch Marsh, if he can get his leg right, get him back to play a few games before we go to the Caribbean. So, yeah, interesting. But, yeah, the World Cup's obviously the talk over here at the moment. You can see a lot of teams and their individual players, certainly in India, the Indian players are fighting for an opportunity in that first 15 for the World Cup.
Back page of the Daily Telegraph today. Walkers on is the headline there. Sam shines as Roosters Anzac march over Dragons. And it's there in the Sydney Morning Herald as well. Roosters find their zen and give Anzac Day rivals a bath. Walkers on, that was you, wasn't it, Loz?
That was me, yeah. Walkers on. I'll tell you what, though, he had a blinder yesterday, Sam Walker, and his short kicking game reminded me of Alan Langer. Alf was the best I'd ever seen with a short kicking game, he and Peter Sterling. But yesterday it was a masterclass from young Walker, 60 to 18. Dragons, they've been good this season in patches, like in games, but I think this is just going to be the roller coaster. Shane Flanagan's going to find himself on. They'll have a week or 2 weeks where they produce some really good, tough football and then fall apart. But the Roosters, they found their mojo yesterday. And that's what we've been expecting from the Roosters. And they've been underperforming this season, but they got it yesterday. Mm. And their style of football, they were very, very good. He looked as though he was the dominant playmaker yesterday, Sam Walker. And if they've worked that out between who's the dominant and who's going to be the secondary player, I think they've found their balance.
Off the kickoff too, we had Moses Suli concussed.
Yeah.
So, you know, couldn't have started any worse for the Dragons, really.
No, it couldn't have been. And that'll be another discussion that will ramp up during next week, I would say, and over the weekend about what do we do with kickoffs with the concussions that we're getting. But again, it'll be something that the league will look into. Both coaches had their say on it. They don't like seeing it. I don't think anyone likes seeing players knocked out from the start of a game. But it can happen in any situation. But you've got to try and limit those situations, I suppose. And on the back of Dale Finucane retiring this week, where cussing is a big talking point in our sport and a lot of contact sports, and it's the biggest challenge that all sporting codes face going forward. But no, they were good yesterday. The Dragons, it was always going to be difficult when Suli left the field, because he's so good for them at the back of the field, carrying the ball out of trouble and getting their sets started well. But well done to the Titans. Their victory, 27-24 over the Warriors. They just needed to win that game. Desi would be feeling so happy. And I think that's been building as well. Mm. Like the past month of football, they've been in the contest. the Titans, but they just haven't come away with the 2 points. You know, they went down to Canberra and extra time and failed to win that game. But they've been building nicely, and Des would have been so happy with them. And then the Storm last night, they were just too good. Just places more pressure under South Sydney coach Jason Demetrio, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah, that downtime with the bye and the heat just disappearing for a few days, it will be back big time after that yesterday. And the incident at the end of the game, Loz, Tane Milne, when he just sort of launched at Cameron Munster's legs, what was he thinking?
Well, he's starting to build up a bit of a reputation as a cheap shotter. There was an incident where he received a number of weeks, was it last year or the year before, against the Roosters, I think it was. And then again last night, just didn't need to be a part of that tackle, didn't need to attack the legs the way he did on Cameron Munster. He could have done some serious issues. So no doubt he'll find himself in a bit of trouble today when the match review have a look at that. But they can ill afford to be missing players at this time of the year. South, they're under the pump and they need all hands on deck.
Just another headline on the back page of the Telegraph today. Taruva off to join Luai at the Tigers. Pups Tigers signing players. Sunia Taruva, he was seemingly constantly linked with the Dragons. But according to this report, has told his Penrith teammates he will be leaving and taking up a 3-year deal there at the Tigers. It's believed he'll be probably playing in the centres there. Does that sound right, Loz? Because you're not moving Jareem Buller from fullback,
no,
are you?
No, they've made that clear that Buller is their fullback and he wants to get his hands on the football a little bit more. Now, some would argue that playing on the wing, you'll get your hands on the ball more than what you would at centre. But he wants to give himself an opportunity to play centres. He's a really good winger. There's no doubt about that. And playing on the end of that Penrith back line, he's had a lot of success. But obviously the money that was offered would be a lot more than what Penrith could. Penrith's a remarkable footy club, what they've been able to do the last four seasons. Well, more than four seasons, to be fair. You know, to be able to lose players and just continually put someone else in, and the machine keeps rolling on. And they're as good a hope as they were last year of winning another premiership, I think. I think, you know, all things being equal, they're the favourites in my mind. But Taruva, very good player. Interesting that the Tigers are now starting to sign named players. That's been an issue for them in the past. So well done to Benji and the team for getting that done. And it just adds to their depth and adds to their quality and hopefully adds to the improvement of the West Tigers moving forward.
Pup, that light at the end of the tunnel is getting brighter as far as the Tigers' future is concerned now that you've signed another Penrith Premiership player in Taruva.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's a nice feeling as a fan to know that we can sign some players. I think, as Loz just mentioned, it's been probably our greatest weakness over the years. And no matter how good a leader you are, and in rugby league a coach you are, you can only coach the stock you got. So if players now are wanting to come to the club, you know, that's obviously a good sign that Benji's creating an environment that that players want to be a part of. And I'd imagine, Loz, you know better than the rest of us, footy world, everyone talks to everyone. Like, I know you're playing against each other, but you got blokes from different teams living together. Yeah. A lot of guys are mates in different teams. So if there's a shit environment, you know about it. If there's a good environment, you know about it. So it's the same as cricket circles. You know, things get around. So there's obviously some good chat in and around the Tigers at the moment that they are creating an environment that people are wanting to now go to. So, yeah, I think that holds us in good stead. I think our footy's been probably what we expected this year. And I say that in a positive way. Of course, you want to win every game you play. And we've had some ordinary moments. But I think we're seeing some signs that are really positive. So, yeah, long may that continue, you know.
Welcome back, Loz. The other day we got some dreadful news. Terry Hill, 52 years of age, sadly passed away in the Philippines. A bloke that you knew reasonably well, obviously played footy with, a fair bit of rep footy with him in particular. 246 first grade games, Souths, Easts, Wests, Manly, West Tigers, all through the 90s and the early 2000s. Really good footy player, a bit of a cult figure, I guess, as well. as we saw, you know, on the footy show with his greyhound Nads and some funny memories there that we've seen over social media and elsewhere in the last few couple of days as well. But just so sad for his family and friends. Way too young, 52.
Oh, terrible news, Mido. And my heart goes out to all his family and close friends. He was a great character, Terry. He was great company. Always had a laugh when you were in and around with him. I was shocked when I heard the news. And by all reports, he was going along really well with his life. And he'd been over there in the Philippines. And David Gillespie had been over there for a fundraiser, you know, only a week before. So when the news filtered through, I think there'd be a lot of people that were very sad. Terry was a wonderful player, a tough player, always gave as good as he got, very good on the lip. There wasn't too many games where you never heard Big Tezza screaming and yelling and carrying on during a game, but he'd always be first to shake your hand after the game. And the thing I liked about Terry, and when I played with him, was the fact that if you're a teammate, you're on his side and he'd protect you. That's what he was there to do. But you also knew that you could take great strength because you do everything in his power to look after his teammates, and he had that great will and drive to win. Off the field, always good for a laugh, always had a good story, always told a story, but sometimes you wouldn't believe. He was one of those characters. and he'd just create a good bond within a group because people would be laughing and you'd be taking the mickey out of each other and he'd be leading the way. But as a team man, yeah, he was someone that everyone loved to play with. And it was just way too soon. And, yeah, as I said before, just condolences to his family and friends. It's very sad, 52 years of age, way too young. Yeah. Still had a lot of life left in him.
Awful news there the other day. And such a great advocate for the greyhound industry as well, wasn't he?
Well, I think that was last time I saw him. It was...
The State of Origin greyhound?
Yeah, we went up to State of Origin and we were up there and we went out to the dogs and it was the State of Origin Dogs Night. And it was myself, you and Dave, and we're having a good old chat. And he was loving life and he was enjoying the dogs and, you know, he was very happy and very settled. So it's quite a shock when you hear that something like that's happened. And it just makes you realise that, you know, life is very short and you look after your loved ones. And but Terry will always be remembered as a wonderful player, a great person, great character, and we'll miss him very much.
Yeah, and let us know your memories of Terry Hill as well on the text line 0419 767 272. And certainly, as Loz said, condolences to all Terry's family and friends. 52 years of age, just awful news that the other day. Now, we've got this morning coming up on the show, as I mentioned, Anthony Kim. We're going to play that interview shortly. Last night, though, Loz, you mentioned Melbourne. In fact, it was when we were off here driving to the course here at the Grange this morning. Melbourne, can they win the comp? Because you weren't completely convinced. Can you see them there on grand final day potentially lifting up the trophy? 54-20 against the Bunnies last night. At the moment, you wonder how big a win that is. But Cameron Munster, who we've been worried, you know, is he going to get through the season? You know, what percentage of fitness is he playing at? He looked all right last night, and he'll be in the Queensland number 6 jersey based on what we saw.
Yeah, at the start of the year, I did think they could win. I thought they were a chance, but I just had like sides like Penrith. I had the Roosters and the Broncos in front of them. They were my sort of three sort of standout teams. And then on the next rung, I thought the Broncos, because the Storm, because I know that they'll be consistent under Bellamy. But I was always worried about whether they could, a bit like the Sharks, they've got another extra gear in them. But what I've noticed with Melbourne is they're playing different football and they're moving the ball. And I reckon that type of offence is going to help them at the back end of the year. Now, it's been clunky for the first 7 weeks, but last night they hit a sweet spot against Souths. A bit like the Roosters. I think the Roosters have been... you know, fumbling about and not finding their identity and not having their own rhythm with the football. But yesterday against the Dragons, they found it. And when you see that happen, you sit back and go, wow, yeah, this is a good footy team who can do some damage. But what I want to see from both Storm and Roosters is this type of footy now for a period of time, not just a one-off. That's going to be their biggest challenge. Well, you know with Penrith, they're going to sustain a high level. Brisbane, I just saw what Reece Walsh did last week being back in that team. When they're all fit, they've got a high ceiling. Have the others got it? From what I've been seeing and noticing, they've still got a bit to do, Melbourne and the Roosters, and I won't write them off, and I'd say that they definitely can win the comp because I think there'll be a lot better teams at the end of the year than what they are now still.
Just on the text line, any shark sightings yet? As in the great Greg Norman here at the Grange. You'd have his number, wouldn't you, pup? You can pass it on. We'll give him a buzz.
Go for it. Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't contacted him to be on the show. He'll be there. Or is there? Is there, the great man. So, yeah, he'll be around. I'm sure Loz will find him. You know, Loz is good for finding someone famous. He'll want a photo.
Mate, 100% I will. Mate, if I see the shark walk past me this morning, I'm brushing the show.
You're brushing him?
Well, no, I'm going down there.
Oh, right. I thought you just said you're brushing him.
I'm not brushing him. No, I'm going down to get a photo.
Oh, right. Oh, you're brushing us.
You.
Yeah. Oh,
he's brushing us.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So if you see me rush off without telling you, that's what I'm doing.
We know why.
Yeah, exactly right.
That would be a good one to put in the folder, wouldn't it? Getting a picture with the shark.
Put him up there with the tig.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one of course. Yeah. Put him up there with shark. I'll put him in the wanker room.
A couple of texts here about betting on Live with Tab. So certain jurisdictions we're allowed to bet on Live and other jurisdictions we're not. Depends where you are a Tab customer. If you're a Queensland customer, I'm looking at the market right now. Whereas if you're a New South Wales customer, unfortunately the regulator doesn't allow us to bet on the tournament. So different states have different approvals on what markets and tournaments you can bet on. And so it depends where you are a Tab customer. I hope I made that as clear as possible. But that's just the way it is.
I know you don't want to get into it.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, I know.
So you what can, are you going to ask
no,
me
no,
now?
No. So you can bet on it in Queensland?
Yes, correct. If you're a Tab customer under the Queensland jurisdiction, you can bet on it.
Right. But we can't in New South Wales.
In New South Wales, we
beautiful.
Can't.
Right. Yeah. I understand that. No, I'm
not
even going to ask
way
you
way above me.
I'm not even going to ask you what.
Well, golfer Anthony Kim is in the midst of a redemption story. A three-time winner on the PGA Tour from 2008 to 2010. He finished third in the Masters in 2010 as well before, well, disappearing from the Tour in 2012 after a series of injuries and surgeries. Now, after 12 years, he's returned recently as a wild card on the Live Tour and been open about his struggles with mental health, addiction, dealing with scam artists, amongst other things. And it's great to speak to Anthony. And Anthony, welcome back to Australia. We really appreciate your time. When were you last here? Because you did win a professional tournament in New Zealand, didn't you?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I've been here a few times. I played in a tournament in Perth and not too far away. I played a course called Cape Canaveral in Calgary Cliffs, New Zealand.
Yeah, brilliant. And I see that you've barely picked up a club, you said, since 2012. Tell us about the conversation with your wife that prompted a return earlier this year.
Yeah, I definitely didn't even have golf clubs for most of that time. And she wanted to pick up golf, and during COVID, I started teaching her how to play because we were both driving each other crazy, stuck in the in the place together. So started teaching her how to golf, and eventually I started hitting a few shots here and there, and got a little bit interested in it, but definitely didn't have plans to play it professionally again. But this opportunity came up not too long ago and couldn't pass it up.
Yes, I see. I remember Andre Agassi saying, Anthony, that he hated tennis. And you've described your relationship with golf as, well, interesting or even complicated. How would you say it is now that you're, what, three or so tournaments back playing professionally?
The relationship I have with golf is completely different. I'm enjoying being out here. I'm enjoying hitting different shots. I'm just enjoying the grind of practicing. It means something different to me. I'm trying to show my daughter what it is to put in hard work, what it is to be persistent and go through these tough times, because I'm not comfortable shooting the scores I am right now. But I know at some point I'm going to break through, and hopefully it happens here in Adelaide. But regardless, I'm going to just keep my head down and keep grinding, and I know the results will eventually come.
And just, you know, recently watching the Masters, Anthony, what sort of emotions does that stir in you, watching, you know, people compete there at Augusta?
I didn't watch too much of the Masters. I was I really spent a lot of time with my family, and golf isn't what we're watching. We're watching a lot of Miss Rachel, which is for toddlers. So didn't watch too much of it, but obviously I have good memories there, and you know, hopefully the dream is to get back there one day.
Describe this course then at the Grange as you arrive here in Adelaide and prepare to play in this LIV tournament.
The course is in absolute perfect shape. The grounds crew, all the people that have worked on it have done a tremendous job in getting this place ready. I saw there was 60 or 70 people, maintenance people, working on the course at one time, and it's a lot of hard work. I know that, but it's in great shape, and super excited and pumped to be here.
And coming back and being on the LIV Tour, I guess the less strict nature of, you know, the LIV circuit and just the way the crowd interacts as well, probably is a good reflection of where you are in life, just to sort of relax. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, I mean, the way LIV Golf is set up, it's definitely something that keeps me going as far as wanting to be out here. I didn't know when I re-entered professional golf that I would want to keep playing, but after being out here, seeing how it's run, seeing all the fans come out, even though the media doesn't do it justice, it's different when you're out here, and I'm having a blast. They take great care of my family, and you know, create experiences for us that we otherwise wouldn't have. So I feel blessed to be here, and I'm going to keep doing my best.
Well, Australians have been, you know, clamoring for the top golfers in the world to be here, so we certainly appreciate having yourself and all the, you know, a lot of top players here, because we haven't seen it very much over the last, well, for a long time in golf, and it's something that Greg Norman's really tried to achieve for Australia. And just on Australian golfers, and Cameron Smith, we obviously watch very closely, Mark Leishman playing in the LIV Tour as well. But, you know, to what extent could being on the LIV Tour, you know, the longer there's no merger, hurt players' chances in the majors, do you think?
Well, you know, that's something I don't even have any gauge on. I do think it's wild that some of the guys on this tour are not playing in the majors. But that's not for me to say. I don't even think I'm ranked. So I'm just working on my game, focused on that. I know if I play good golf, I'll eventually be at a place where I could be talking about it. But there's some really, really great players out here that deserve to be playing in majors. And hopefully they'll get that opportunity.
And what are your expectations this week, Anthony?
My expectations are to be focused on every shot. And I would be lying to say that I'm not looking for better results. And I go into every tournament, regardless of if I finish last or first, that I'm here to win. I'm not here to do anything else. And I know eventually I'll have my shot, whether it be this week or not. I don't know. But that's my mindset going into it. And we'll see what happens.
As someone who was near the top of the world rankings at a young age, and for it to, I guess, evaporate so quickly as your body failed you back at around 2012, what do you think people can learn from your story?
I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned, and I think that's why it's really important for me to eventually tell my full story, because I want my experiences and the things that I made mistakes with at a young age to help other people and hopefully be some sort of inspiration to people that are struggling. Because, you know, when the lights were on and everything seems so great, they were really dark for me. So hopefully my story will eventually inspire people to believe in themselves, believe they can get out of difficult situations in their life. And you know, when you work hard and do the right thing, you get better opportunities. And I feel like that's what's happened to me. And hopefully people will see that and draw from that.
Obviously, hindsight's wonderful, but if you could change one thing from that period, from when you were, say, number six in the world, winning PGA events, to that period in 2012, just before you went out of the tour, if you could change one thing from that period of time, what would it be?
Wow, that's a tough question. There's so many things I would do differently, but one would just be a little bit more patient. I made poor decisions just because there was so much opportunity out there. There wasn't really the answer was never no. So I did a lot of things that I otherwise wouldn't do if I didn't have that opportunity. And I feel lucky that I had a lot of amazing opportunities, but I made some mistakes along the way. And hopefully once people hear some of the mistakes that I made, they won't go down the same path and it'll have a good effect on other people.
Anthony, there's the obvious off the course, I guess, with the, you know, the split in the tours, but how has the game changed when you look around at your competitors and, you know, the how far everyone hits it and, you know, the layout of courses, et cetera, and just how everyone interacts with each other. What are the big changes you've noticed from when you were on the tour back those years ago?
Well, obviously, I'm playing on the LIV tour now, and so I don't know what it's like out on the PGA tour, but I would say the average player has gotten better, and so there's more opportunity for different players to win. And as to where before there was really a handful of guys you would consider could win a golf tournament, but really there's a lot more people that are able to win now. And there's obviously a lot of young players that are ready to go and ready to win early. So that's the biggest difference. I think golf, you know, technology has changed, but at the end of the day, you got to get the ball in the hole. And you know, there's tons of talent out here.
Is there a player in particular you especially love watching play?
I don't love watching anybody play, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see you've certainly got a very balanced life off the course, and it's great to just see you back here in Australia, and we're looking forward to seeing you compete over the next 3 days as well. Enjoy the Grange, enjoy Adelaide and being here in Australia once again, Anthony, and we appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Now, there's a game in the Premier League this morning, and Manchester City are handing it to Brighton. And they're playing in Brighton as well. It is 4-0, 76 minutes gone. So City will go back to, well, up to 76 points, one behind Arsenal. And City have played a game less, of course. Yesterday, Everton pretty much have ended Liverpool's charge, you'd think. They're still only 3 points behind Arsenal, but City with that game in hand set to go. Probably up to 79. So Liverpool in big trouble after that 2-0 loss to Everton at Goodison Park yesterday. Phil Moss will preview the weekend's football action with Mossy a little later this morning as well. Yesterday in the NRL on Anzac Day, the Gold Coast Titans over in Auckland, 27-24 over the Warriors. The Roosters beat the Dragons 60-18. The Melbourne Storm 54-20 over Souths. And tonight, just the one game tonight with the three games yesterday, and Manly is set to wear black armbands, Loz, in honour of Terry Hill, and Manly up against Parramatta there at Brookvale tonight. And, well, a lot of pressure on Parramatta, of course, and they've got Ethan Sanders in the halves there tonight against Manly, set to make his debut.
Yeah, it'll be an emotional night at Manly because Terry played so many games for them, and He'd have so many close and wonderful friends still there. Parramatta, though, they're looking for a response because last weekend they were diabolical against the Dolphins up there in Darwin in the second half in particular. And their coach, Brad Arthur, challenged them during the week. He called them a part-time football team. So if they've got any strength, they're going to turn up tonight and give a great account of themselves. Young Ethan Sanders, terrific young player. Signed with the Canberra Raiders for the next three seasons, so that's a good pickup for them. But he's just got to bring a couple of things to the game. He's got to bring a lovely kicking game tonight. He's got to defend well, but he's also got to give them strong direction when they've got the football. And if he can do those three things successfully, then he's done his job. And it's up to the senior players in this Parramatta side. You know, the front rowers, Paulo, Campbell Gillard, Dylan Brown. You know, we need to see a bit more from Dylan. Gutho, we know he's reliable as ever, but they're going to play aggressive tonight and they're going to get really stuck into this Manly side and try and be aggressive in defence, have great line speed and try and force him into error. Manly move the ball as well as anyone. Manly are one of the smoky teams in this year's comp. I think that they're developing nicely as well and they've got a big forward pack and, you know, I think they'll have some players involved in State of Origin, which they'll have to contend with, and that could knock them around. But I like what they're doing and like what they're building under Anthony Seibold.
They're 9.5-point favourites with Tab at the line tonight. $1.32 head-to-head Manly. Parramatta $3.40 outsiders. And, gee, when their leadership group fronted the media early this week, I mean, Regan Campbell-Gillard, he conceded in the second half against the Dolphins and didn't look like they knew each other. Clint Gutherson agreed he probably... hasn't been a part of a worse 40 minutes. And adamant, though, that Brad Arthur still has their full support. In fact, Campbell Gillard said he'd die for him, for Brad Arthur there. So, well, we need to see a response, though. So the senior players have come out and, you know, obviously supported the coach. Now they've just got to back it up, Loz, with their actions because they certainly didn't do that in the second half last week in Darwin.
No, they didn't, you know. And you know what? It's the senior players, they've been playing well. Like Campbell Gillard, I think, has had a good start to the season. Gutho, we know. But
Gutho's effort never drops.
No, there's a few others that just need to pick it up. Mm. And, you know, they've got to rediscover that form that we know they can give us. You know, like Sivo was one of the world's best wingers here, you know, last couple of years. And he's been dropped. He gets an opportunity to come back into the team. Pennicini's been off his game. You know, Sean Lane, like a... Was it last year or a couple of years ago? They were talking about him being an Australian back row. Ryan Madison's been in and out. Hopgood hasn't been as good this year as what he was last year. But we know if they can put it together, they're a very good team. And if they get back to playing their style, being physical, being aggressive, unloading the ball, moving the ball, and cashing in on their moments, they're a damn good footy side. But... going to Brookvale, it's always going to be a tough ask for them. But, you know, the talk coming out of Parramatta is cheap unless you put it out there on the field tonight. So they've done a lot of talking. Mm. It's about delivering and delivering in a strong, polished... Well, you know what? It doesn't have to be polished. It's just got to be strong. Mm. And they're going to come away somehow, a bit like the Titans, just somehow come away with a victory tonight.
Can't tip them though, can you?
No, I can't.
No.
No, I'm tipping Manly every day of the week with the style of footy they're playing.
Just seeing in the IPL overnight as well, Pup. So Royal Challengers Bangalore, 7 for 206, have beaten Sunrisers Hyderabad by 35 runs. Sunrisers, 8 for 171. And good to see Cameron Green amongst the good performers in that match. So he was 37 not out off 20 deliveries and 2 for 12 with the ball as well off just the two overs. In fact, he got the Australian captain out, Paddy Cummins, who's the captain of Sunrisers Hyderabad, who made 31 down the order as well. But good to see Cameron Green find a bit of form as well, Pup.
Yeah, good to see RCB get a win. They've been horrible, Mido, to be honest. So well and truly due. I think that's their second win for the tournament so far, where Paddy Cummins and the Sunrisers have been awesome. They've been in great form. So... a big upset last night. Cameron Green, yeah, his form has him and Glenn Maxwell haven't been great for that RCB team. So Maxi's obviously out, not playing at the moment. Very important. Cameron Green tries to find some form. He's fighting with, you know, Mitchell Marsh is obviously captain of the World Cup team, so he's going to be in. But he's probably fighting with Marcus Stoinis for that second all-rounder spot, who just got an unbelievable 100 a couple of nights ago. So, yeah, selectors will be watching every game that those two are playing for that all-rounder spot over in the West Indies in the World Cup team. And, yeah, good to see Greeny back into some form. But don't know, I reckon he – I know they've got – RCB got Virat Kohli and Faf Duplessis, who's captain, opening the batting. And they've done well. Virat's done awesome. He's the leading run scorer in the IPL at the moment. I reckon Cameron Green could be opening the batting with Virat. I reckon Faf could give him an opportunity at the top of the order. I think that's where Greeny's probably best suited in T20 cricket, to be honest.
Well, Loz, it is draft day, NFL draft day.
Oh, love it.
Bring it on today. And there's markets open with Tab for the draft. And we're deep into the NBA playoffs, at least the opening round of the NBA playoffs as well. Bradley, how are you, mate?
Good morning, boys. Oh, loving the playoffs. Getting no sleep, loving every minute of it.
I'll start with my Knicks, who are 2-0 up against the 76ers. And they meet today at 9:30. Their New South Wales, Eastern Standard Time today. And Joel Embiid, after Game 2, when they suffered an unbelievable collapse late, or the Knicks just stole the game in the last, 30 seconds of that match. Joel Embiid said, "We will win this series." Are you with Joel Embiid? How does it play out from here between the Sixers and the Knicks heading into Game 3?
Not a chance. 4-1, New York. Don't know what he's talking about. No, I'm loving this series. I think that's probably the best series out of all of them, actually. Loving what New York are doing. They're just playing fantastic basketball, and Philly just blew the series in that one. I always thought New York were going to win it anyway, but to be 1-0 up or down, if you're talking Philly, 1-0 down, they're 5 up or something, whatever, 30 seconds to go, and they just blew it.
How did they get that wrong, Bradley?
Oh, look, it's poor. I think you can say poor decision-making is the first thing. They give up a 3 and you can live with that, right? So now they're down 2 or whatever they are, New York. But then they throw the ball in and it was pretty poor. And there's talking of fouls, and yes, you can say that as well. But it was a pretty poor situation. And went in that time, should have just called a timeout. That's as simple as it is. Should have just called a timeout. They would have advanced the ball. They would have got it back. And you can see, I know the coach has come out, Nick Nurse, and said, "I was calling for this and calling for that." Simpler thing. Call a timeout, advance it. They blew it. They might steal today. I think they could, with what's gone on there. But no, they're not winning that series. Mm. New York, fantastic.
What about Lakers, buddy? 2-0 back to LA. I know LeBron's a genius, but he's not this good, is he? He can't carry the whole team for the entire season on his back, can he?
No, he can't. That's as simple as it is. That was a heart-wrenching loss, and they had that one. And look, Denver are just so good, mate. They are just so good. Jamal Murray put himself in a position where he can win the game, and Denver just down by 20, and they just find ways to win. They're not the prettiest team to watch. They're not the greatest team to watch. They just are so methodical in the way they do it, and they've got the best player in the NBA. Jokic's unbelievable. Yes, Jamal Murray, give it to him for what he did in that, shot, but you've got to put yourself in that position. And Nikola Jokic was outstanding for them.
Brad, we had Dick Fane on the program the other day, and he told us that Denver have only led for, 23 minutes
across the two games.
That's remarkable, isn't it? And they've still won.
It is remarkable, and the situation is they just put themselves in good position, and they're a winning team. And you know what it's like? You learn how to win. And that's what they've done by winning championships, and they always know that they've got the faith that they can do it. And Nikola Jokic is great, Jamal Murray's great, but they've got really good other players doing what they need to do as well. So, look, the Lakers, I think they'll steal one game, but that's probably about it. Denver, too good.
What happened to Boston?
Oh,
that's a big loss for them, isn't it?
This is what everyone said about Boston. As good as they're going to be, Miami is not a good setup system for them. They know how to play, and they're doing that without Jimmy Butler as well. And they can just knock down threes, and the pressure that is in Boston is second to none. So, look, I think they'll scrape through this series, but then they're going to have to play I guess, the winner of the Cavs and Magic, but Cleveland will probably win that. They're 2-0 up. But I just can't see them going super deep in this because I just think they're just so scared to lose. And you know what it's like if you're scared to lose, you play on the edge. And when you play on the edge, you lose games.
Aussie Josh Giddey only played 20 minutes in Game 1 for Oklahoma City, but played 26 minutes in their Game 2 win over the Pelicans and had 13 points, what, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. OKC, top seed in the West. A lot of teams, or a lot of pundits don't think they can go all the way and reach the finals, but they did it tough in Game 1, but how do you think they're faring overall, OKC?
Yeah, I think they're doing what they need to do. There's pressure on them. They're a young team. I don't think they can win the whole thing. I think that they will get through this one. They're 2-0 up. They've then got an easier draw, if that's the right words. They're playing Clippers and Mavs, and that's probably the side of the draw I'd prefer to be on rather than, well, what looks like to be the Timberwolves and Nuggets. I think we'll go through the next two. I think Thunder will get there. I think they'll make it to the West, but I think whoever they meet will get them in that. And my tip would probably look, Timberwolves are playing fantastic basketball and they are really energetic at the moment and looking good. So it'll be a great series to see who gets through there.
Gee, Phoenix, if, you know, they're down 0-2 to Minnesota, Brad, and, you know, with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, I mean, you'd have to say if they get routed here in round one, I mean, where do they go?
You know, it's funny. You sort of sit here and you go, are Phoenix actually playing in this series? Like, you just don't. They're just one of those teams that you're just like, oh, yeah, that's right. But no one accounts for them. I don't like the makeup of that team. I think they're a very good team. I think they're an outstanding regular season team. I just don't think they can take it to the next level in the playoffs. And Timberwolves have come to play. They're not losing this series. And I just... something about Phoenix that just doesn't sit well with me, and I don't think they'll go deep at all. I don't think, well, they won't win this series, in my opinion. And then I think they've got to retool. The problem they've got to do when they retool is they've got all these players on massive contracts. Bradley Beal, I think, has got another 2 years on $50 million left. There's just so much, so it's a tough situation if you're Phoenix.
That series between the Pacers and the Bucks is 1-1. Is Giannis back playing or he's not?
No, he's not back playing, and unfortunately there's no sort of noise of when he's coming back. They did say it was a couple of weeks. You don't know. But that's another good series as well. I'm enjoying that, and Pacers are a young team. But really, the Bucks should get through. They've got enough with Dame and their supporting cast to be able to get through that one.
Back home, any updates with NBL free agency? I know McDowell-White was one that we're watching closely, and I believe, isn't he going to Europe? Is that right,
yeah,
Brad?
Yeah, that's what the talk is. So everyone was wondering, where is he going to head? With him leaving, there'll be some very different, upset teams, I should say. Teams like South East Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, all these teams that were looking. They've now got to change and now go after point guards that are an American and import situation. So a real shame to lose someone like that. But look, he's a young guy. He wants to go over and see what he can do. But outside of all of that, it's very quiet. The main moves were done on the first week or so. Now teams will tool up and really try and get their imports correct, and that's what they'll wait for. I don't think you'll see many signatures at the moment. I think a lot of coaches will go over, wait for summer league in the States. That's what will happen. There might be one or two signings. Remember, each team has three imports per team. So at least one might get signed, but the other two you'll probably find will wait until that summer league goes and really try and attract the big names to come down.
How good are the playoffs, Brad? We'll leave you to it. Thanks so much, mate.
Go those Lakers.
Before, we have the multi-loss.
I've got a couple of things I have to get through.
Now, what's going on? Yeah, okay, over to you.
Over to me, all right. So we're going to do Bet's Friends again today. So send through your tips and your name of the horse and your name itself, and we'll put you up on that Bet's Friends page. And we've got two already that are coming back. So we've got Larissa. She's gone race 9, number 14, City of Lights.
Didn't it run yesterday?
Did it?
I'll have to check that. I'm sure my man Ben, who I was playing golf with, had a decent bet on it and it got rolled.
Because
I'll have to check that.
Because she was on last week and it got postponed. The race didn't run race 9 or 10. So I got... So you're saying it raced yesterday.
I'll have to check.
See, the IT department's all over the place at the moment. They're under pressure, the IT department. And Chucky, the bus driver... he was the same. the races were postponed. So he's gone.
Yeah, ran yesterday.
Eight, number 10.
City of Lights ran yesterday.
I know a star. Mm. All right. Well, text back in, Larissa. And the multi, all right? Now, this is what's happening with the multi, all right? You know how I like to throw people under the bus. I'm going to throw people under the bus again. There was just a bit of a miscommunication.
Right. Okay.
All right. Miscommunication. So, and because we're under the pump in the IT department, there's two multis today.
Jeez. Okay.
All right. So, you know how they always say you never rip up a ticket that you've put that you've got wrong.
If you put the wrong bet on.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't cancel the bet.
Yep. All right. If so, that's sort of what's happened on this occasion. So, the original multi was Green Shadows. Yep. Oh, so they've left it.
Well, I'm seeing Green Shadows and Waterford. Is that... I'm seeing Green Shadows top two, Waterford top four.
Well, I was going to have two multis. I was going to have two multis.
Oh, what is going on?
Because the original
here?
Multi was Green Shadows top two, Waterford top four.
Well, that's what we've got. Well, that's what I'm seeing on the Tab website at the moment.
So that's on there.
That's it.
Oh, well, there you go. That solves all my issues.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay. Great.
Because they did put it up as race eight, number five, Cosmic Vader.
Well, that's I'm not seeing that here.
So if that's not there, we are 100%.
We are
on the
a
go.
Well-oiled machine. So tell us, Loz, the
IT,
multi
IT department have worked well overnight. So we're going Rose Hill Race 3, number 7, Green Shadows.
Yep, to run top two.
To run top two into Rose Hill Race 8, number 4, Waterford to run top four.
Top four. $6.
$6, there you go.
$6 in its usual spot on the Tab app and website under sports and today's offers. And remember, what's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Ali Mosley, after all that, we got there. How are you, Ali?
I might be better than you this morning.
We've ripped up that other ticket.
Sounds like you're having fun over there.
We know what happens now. What do you think of the multi first up? Green Shadows top two, Waterford top four.
Yeah, I like Green Shadows. I'm pretty keen on Waterford. I think we got crunched with the scratching there of Jimmy Starr, who heads to Queensland, which is a bit of a shame price-wise. But, yeah, I'm quite keen on Waterford. So I like it lots. We finally got there in the end.
Well, hopefully, Al. I've just got a salute now.
All right. Let's. Well, there's some two-year-olds, isn't there, racing in the first at Rose Hill tomorrow. So and I've just brought up the wrong marker. But tell us who you fancy there, Ali.
I'm a little bit here, there and everywhere with my tips this week, so you'll have to bear with me because we're going, just to preface this, I've got one from Wanganui, one from Kembla Grange, one from Eagle Farm, Rose Hill, and I've got one at Scone for us today. So,
you know what, go for it. Just get into it. Yep. Tell us what they are.
We're just going to go everywhere. So that the first race at Rose Hill on the program. I wasn't desperately keen on too many of them. I think Seascape's short enough, but I'd probably be staying out of that one. So at Rose Hill, in race two, on what I thought was a tricky day to find something that I liked, I've landed on Run With The Tide, who's $5 at the moment in the midway. So I've gone with Run With The Tide there. I think I'm hoping Cigar Flick should just be too good for them in race six. Is my bet at the moment, who's $8, so each way there for Cigar Flick in race six. They're the two that I like at Rose Hill.
Race six, Cigar Flick, okay. So race two, number 17, and race six, number seven. Race six, number seven, Cigar Flick. All right, then, where are we going next?
Then we'll jump to Kembla Grange, so we'll start in Sydney. In the first race, I'm keen on Bullets High, who was also meant to run yesterday and was scratched. He didn't handle the track conditions last start there at Gosford. They've got a big opinion of him. He's on a Queensland Derby pass, should he run well this weekend. So he goes around in the first at Kembla, steps out to 2,000, which will suit, again, I think when Joe Pride earmarks one, he knows that they're going to go well. He did the same thing with Chael Wolf, so similar sort of story here with Bullets High. By Ace High out of an Ifraj mare, so I think we'll suit stepping out to 2,000 to the ground. I don't think we have any markets yet, but I'd be keen on Bullets High in the first at Kembla.
Okay, so that'll be race one, number three, Bullets High at Kembla. All right, keep going.
Then we're going north to Eagle Farm. So in the eighth event on the program there, I'm keen on Jimmy Starr, who's 2:30 at the moment. So we'll have something on him, but I also want to have something each way on Williamsburg as my value bet there. He's 8:50 at the moment, gets the blinkers off for the first time. He trialled well recently, and I feel as though this horse has always been right there, right up in it, and I can't see why this isn't a pretty winnable race for him. So Jimmy Starr, but something on Williamsburg each way.
Yep. That's race 8 number 5, Jimmy Starr at Eagle Farm, and race 8 number 4, Williamsburg each way. Okay, keep going.
Then at Wanganui tomorrow.
Love this.
Race 5. I've had a chat to some of my Kiwi mates, and they're very keen on Titled. So that's horse number 7 in race 5 at Wanganui.
Race 5, number 7, Wanganui, Titled, is a $4.20 chance with Tab. Race 5, Wanganui, number 7, Titled. Okay, keep going.
And then finally, to kick us off today, I'm hoping that we've got a winner in the first at Scone, Healthy Bell, for Brett Kavanagh.
I think you've tipped this one to us before.
I think I probably have.
Yeah. Today at Scone.
Race we've got the Scone Cup Helsey today too. So that should be a great day.
Okay. I'm not seeing this on the Tab markets yet.
Race one, number one.
Well, that's easy to remember. Race one, number one, Healthy Bell at Scone. Oh, is it Tamworth? No.
Tamworth, sorry, that was
Tamworth.
My fault.
Yeah, Tamworth. That's okay, right. It's a Tamworth.
Sorry,
that's right.
I did you in there.
All good. Tamworth today, race one, number one, Healthy Bell.
That's right. And that's where I'll leave it because I think I've confused everyone enough.
I'm going to go through them and let me know if I've got any of these wrong. So Ali's tips tomorrow. Race 2 at Rose Hill, firstly. Rose Hill, race 2, number 17, Run with the Tide. Also, race 6, number 7, Cigar Flick. Going to Eagle Farm, she likes race 8, number 5, Jimmy Starr, but also having a bet each way on number 4 in the same race, Williamsburg. So race 8, number 5, and number 4. Also tomorrow at Kembla Grange, race 1, number 3, Bullets High. At Wanganui in New Zealand tomorrow, race 5, number 7, Titled. And Tamworth today, race 1, number 1, Healthy Bell, $2.10 favourite, just to put the bank, or build the bank for the weekend. Have I got those, Ali?
Yes, no, Mido, you're right. I'm sorry to make your morning more difficult than it sounds like it already is.
Don't worry. I feel sorry. The poor bloke here I think it was a sunrise cross, had to do it all through the leaf blower just before, so we've got it easy. Ali, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy Adelaide.